Satanism and Communism, Richard Wurmbrand, Chapter 1, Changed Loyalties, Marx, Christian Writings. Today, much of the world is still Marxist. Marxism, in one form or another, is embraced by many in capitalist countries, too. There are even Christians, and amazingly clergymen, some in high standing, who are sure that while Jesus might have had the right answers about how to get to heaven, Marx had the right answers about how to help the hungry, destitute, and oppressed here on earth. Marx, it is said, was deeply humane. He was dominated by one idea, how to help the exploited masses. What impoverishes them, he maintained, is capitalism. Once this rotten system is overthrown after a transitional period of dictatorship of the proletariat, a society will emerge in which everyone will work according to his abilities in factories and farms belonging to the collective and will be rewarded according to his needs. There will be no state to rule over the individual, no wars, no revolution, only an everlasting universal brotherhood. In order for the masses to achieve happiness, more is needed than the overthrow of capitalism, Marx writes. The abolition of religion as the illusory happiness of man is a requisite for their real happiness. The call to abandon their illusions about their conditions is a call to abandon a condition which requires illusions. The criticism of religion is therefore the criticism of this veil of tears, of which religion is the halo. Allegedly, Marx was anti-religious because religion obstructs the fulfillment of the communist ideal, which he considered the only answer to the world's problems. There is, however, Marxists explain their position, and sadly, there are clergymen who explain it in the same way. Reverend Österreicher of Britain said in a sermon, "Communism, whatever its present varied form of expression, both good and bad, is in origin a movement for the emancipation of man from exploitation by his fellow man." Sociologically, the church was and largely still is on the side of the world's exploiters. Karl Marx, whose theories only thinly veil a passion for justice and brotherhood that has its roots in the Hebrew prophets, loathed religion because it was used as an instrument to perpetuate a status quo in which children were slaves and worked to death in order to make others richer in Britain. It was no cheap jibe 100 years ago to say that religion was the opium of the masses. As members of the body of Christ, we must come in simple penitence, knowing that we owe a deep debt to every communist. Well, Marxism makes an impression on people's thinking because of its successes, but success proves nothing. Witch doctors often succeed too. Success confirms error as well as truth. Conversely, failure can be constructive, opening the way to deeper truth. So an analysis of some of Marx's words should be made without regard to their success. Who was Marx? In his early youth, Karl Marx professed to be and lived as a Christian. His first written work is called The Union of the Faithful with Christ. There we read these beautiful words. Through love of Christ, we turn our hearts at the same time toward our brethren, who are inwardly bound to us, and for whom he gave himself in sacrifice. Marx knew a way for men to become loving brethren toward one another, Christianity. He continues, union with Christ could give an inner elevation, comfort in sorrow, calm trust, and a heart susceptible to human love, to everything noble and great, not for the sake of ambition and glory, but only for the sake of Christ. At approximately the same time, Marx writes in his thesis, Considerations of a Young Man on Choosing His Career. Religion itself teaches us that the ideal towards which all strive sacrificed himself for humanity, and who shall dare contradict such claims? If we have chosen this, the position in which we can accomplish the most for him, then we can never be crushed by burdens, because they are only sacrifices made for the sake of all. Marx started out as a Christian believer. When he finished high school, the following was written on his graduation certificate under the heading Religious Knowledge. His knowledge of the Christian faith and morals is clear, fairly clear, and well-grounded. He knows also to some extent the history of the Christian church. However, in a thesis written at the same time, he repeated 6 times the word destroy, which not even one of his colleagues used in the exam. Destroy then became his nickname. It was natural for him to want to destroy because he spoke about mankind as human trash and said, "No man visits me and I like this, because present mankind may, and obscenity. They are a bunch of rascals," end quote. Marx's first anti-God writings. Shortly after Marx received his certificate, something mysterious happened in his life. He became profoundly and passionately anti-religious. A new Marx began to emerge. He writes in a poem, "I wish to avenge myself against the one who rules above." So he was convinced that there is one who above who rules, but was quarreling with him. Yet the one who had done him no wrong. Marx belonged to a relatively well-to-do family. He had not faced hunger in his childhood. He was much better off than many of his fellow students. What produced such a terrible hatred for God? No personal motive is known. Was Karl Marx in this declaration only someone else's mouthpiece? We do not know. At an age when most young men have beautiful dreams of doing good to others and preparing a career for themselves, the young Marx wrote the following lines in his poem, Invocation of One in Despair. So God has snatched from me my all in the curse and rack of destiny. All his words are gone beyond recall. Nothing but revenge is left to me. I shall build my throne high overhead. Cold, tremendous shall its summit be, for its bulwark, superstitious dread, for its martial, blackest agony. Who looks on it with a healthy eye shall turn back, deathly pale and dumb, clutched by blind and chill mortality. May his happiness prepare its tomb. Marx dreamt about running the world created by God. He said in another poem, "Then I will be a to walk triumphantly, like a god through the reins of their kingdom. Every word of mine is fire and action. My breast is equal to that of the Creator. The words, I shall build my throne on high overhead, and the confession that from one sitting on this throne will emanate only dread and agony. Remind us of Lucifer's proud boast, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God," Isaiah 14:13. Perhaps it was no coincidence that Bakunin, who was for a time one of Marx's most intimate friends, wrote, "One has to worship Marx in order to be loved by him. One has at least to fear him in order to be tolerated by him. Marx is extremely proud, up to dirt and madness." The Satanist Church and Ulanim. Why did Marx wish such a throne? The answer is found in a little-known drama which he composed during his student years. It was called Ulanim. To explain this title, a digression is needed. One of the rituals of the Satanist Church is a black mass, which Satanist priests recite at midnight. Black candles are put in candlesticks upside down. The priest is dressed in his ornate robes, but with a lining outside. He says all things prescribed in the prayer book, but reads from the end towards the beginning. The holy names of God, Jesus, and Mary are read inversely. A crucifix is fastened upside down and trampled upon. The body of a naked woman serves as an altar. A consecrated wafer stolen from a church is inscribed with the name Satan, and is used for a mock communion. During the Black Mass, a Bible is burned. All those present promise to commit the seven deadly sins, as enumerated in Catholic Catechism, and never do any good. An orgy follows. Devil worship is very old, and the Bible has much to say about and against it. For example, the Jews, though entrusted by God with the true religion, sometimes faltered in their faith and sacrificed unto devils, Deuteronomy 32:17. And King Jeroboam of Israel once ordained priests for devils, 2 Chronicles 11:15. So, from time immemorial, men have believed in the existence of the devil. Sin and wickedness are the hallmark of his kingdom. Disintegration and destruction is an inevitable result. The great concentration of evil design in times past, as well as in modern communism and Nazism, would have been impossible without a guiding force, the devil himself. He has been the mastermind, the secret agent, supplying the unifying energy in his grand scheme to control mankind. Characteristically, Ulanim is an inversion of a holy name. It is an anagram of Emmanuel, a biblical name of Jesus, which means in Hebrew, God with us. Such inversions of names are considered effective in black magic. We will be able to understand the drama Ulanim only in light of a strange confession that Marx made in a poem called The Player, later downplayed by both himself and his followers. The hellish vapors rise and fill the brain till I go mad and my heart is utterly changed. See the sword, the prince of darkness sold it to me. For me he beats the time and gives the signs. Even more boldly I play the dance of death. These lines take on special significance when we learn that in the rites of higher initiation, in the Satanist cult, an enchanted sword which ensures success is sold to the candidate. He pays for it by signing a covenant with blood taken from his wrist, agreeing that his soul will belong to Satan after death. To enable the reader to grasp the horrid intent of these poems, I should mention, though with natural revulsion, that the Satanic Bible, after saying, quote, the crucifix symbolizes pallid incompetence hanging on a tree, calls Satan, quote, the ineffable prince of darkness who rules the each, end quote, as opposed to, quote, the lasting foulness of Bethlehem, end quote, the cursed Nazarene, end quote, the impotent king, the fugitive and mute god, vile and abhorred pretender to the majesty of Satan. The devil is called the god of light, with angels cowering and trembling with fear and prostrating themselves before him and sending Christian minions staggering to their doom. Now I quote from the drama Ulanim itself, quote, and they are also Ulanim, Ulanim. The name rings forth like death rings forth until it dies away in a wretched crawl. Stop, I've got it now. It rises from my soul as clear as air, as strong as my bones. Yet I have power from within my youthful arms to clench and crush you. That is personified humanity with tempestuous force, while for us both the abyss yawns in darkness. You will sink down and I shall follow laughing, whispering in your ears, descend, come with me, friend, end quote. The Bible, which Marx had studied in his high school years and which he knew quite well in his mature years, says that the devil will be bound by an angel and cast into the bottomless pit, abyssos in Greek, see Revelation 20:3. Marx desires to draw the whole of mankind into this pit reserved for the devil and his angels. Who speaks through Marx in this drama? Is it reasonable to expect a young student to entertain as his life's dream the vision of mankind entering into the abyss of darkness? Outer darkness is a biblical expression for hell. And of himself laughing as he follows those he has led to unbelief? Nowhere in the world is this ideal cultivated except in the initiation rites of the Satanist Church at its highest degrees. When in the drama the time comes for Ulanim's death, his words are, ruin, ruin, my time has clean run out. The clock has stopped, the pygmy house has crumbled. Soon I shall embrace eternity to my breast, and soon I shall howl gigantic curses on mankind. Marx had loved the words of Mephistopheles in Faust. Quote, everything in existence is worth being destroyed. Everything, including the proletariat and the comrades. Marx quotes these words in the 18th Brumaire Stalin acted on them and destroyed even his own family. Satan is called in Faust the spirit that denies everything. This is precisely Marx's attitude. He writes about pitiless criticism of all that exists. War against the situation in Germany. Merciless criticism of all. He adds, it is the first duty of the press to undermine the foundations of the existing political system. Marx said about himself that he is the most outstanding hater of the so-called positive. The Satanist sect is not materialistic. It believes in eternal life. Lenin, the person through whom Marx speaks, does not question this. He asserts eternal life, but as a life of hate magnified to its extreme. It is worth noting that eternity for devils means torment. Note Jesus' reproach by demons. Quote, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Matthew 8:29. Marx is similarly obsessed. Ha! Eternity! She is our eternal grief, an indescribable and immeasurable death. Vile artificiality conceived to scorn us, ourselves being clockwork, blindly mechanical, made to be the fool calendars of time and space, having no purpose save to happen to be ruined, so that there shall be something to ruin. We begin now to understand what has happened to young Marx. He had had Christian convictions, but had not led a consistent life. His correspondence with his father testifies to his squandering great sums of money on pleasures and his constant quarreling with parental authority about this and other matters. There he seems to have fallen in with the tenets of the highly secret Satanist church and received the rites of initiation. Satan, who his worshippers see in their hallucinatory orgies, actually spoke through them. Thus, Marx is only Satan's mouthpiece when he utters in his poem Invocation of One in Despair the words, I wish to avenge myself against the one who rules above. Listen to the end of Ulanen. If there is something which devours, I leap within it, though I bring the world to ruins. The world which bulks between me and the abyss, I will smash to pieces with my enduring curses. I'll throw my arms around its harsh reality. Embracing me, the world will dumbly pass away and then sink down to utter nothingness, perished with no existence. That would be really living. Marx was probably inspired by the words of the Marquis de Sade. I abhor nature. I would like to split its planet, hinder its process, stop the circle of stars, overthrow the globes that float in space, destroy what serves nature, protect what harms it. In a word, I wish to insult it in my works. Perhaps we will be able to attack the sun, deprive the universe of it, or use it to set the world on fire. These would be real crimes. De Sade and Marx propagate the same ideas. Honest men, as well as men inspired by God, often seek to serve their fellow men by writing books to increase their store of knowledge, improve their morality, stimulate their religious sentiments, or at least provide relaxation and amusement. The devil is the only being who consciously pervades only evil to mankind, and he does this through his elect servants. As far as I know, Marx is the only renowned author who has ever called his own writings, quote, shit, quote, swinish books. He consciously, deliberately gives his reader filth. No wonder, then, that some of his disciples, communists in Romania and Mozambique, force prisoners to eat their own excrement and drink their own urine. In Ulanen, Marx does what the devil does. He consigns the entire race to damnation. Ulanen is probably the only drama in the world in which all the characters are aware of their own corruption and flaunt it and celebrate it with conviction. In this drama, there is no black and white. There are no Claudius and Ophelia, Iagio and Desdemona. Here are all servants of darkness. All reveal aspects of Mephistopheles. All are satanic, corrupt, doomed.